This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Is that not one of the great movie lines of all time? Oh, Anchorman. Funny stuff. 4:06, the sun is out. It is breezy. We got kind of a windy, rainy, snowy day on the way on Sunday, and then things start to turn. Should be a pretty good week. Weather-wise, let's go outdoors. Steve Kearney joins us. SteveKearneyOutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I've been great, Steve. Kind of suffering through a kind of a nasty weather day today. A lot of wind and cold. I think the ice fishing is pretty much done. I was out a couple times this week and walked out gingerly and hit a lot of maybe 9 inches left, 10 inches of, you know, ice left, and very honeycombed. And I don't know, I was really nervous. It was cracking under me quite a bit. So after Thursday, I said, I'm done. I'm not going out anymore. So I highly recommend people just back off and give it up. It's just not worth it right now. Everything's really changing dramatically. If you go on the DNR website, you'll see the lakes now that are open. A lot of them in the southern, you know, part of the state, southwestern, are all opening up. So the next week, you're going to see a lot of open water now. Big Stone Traverse will open up. And, you know, as we move north, things will start opening up. So we are hitting that transition time. But, you know, the ice fishing, man, I think it's over.
Yeah. And let's sum it up. How would you sum up the year that was out on the ice?
You know, Steve, I think it was a really good season. You know, we had really good ice right from the get-go. There was a lot of participation. We had, you know, really good integrity in terms of the ice. We had thickness and not a lot of problems. Accesses were fine. So I think this goes down as probably one of the best ice seasons we've ever had. And I know the retail people have bounced back a lot after two bad seasons, and that helped a lot. So economically, I think it was great. Participation was great. So, yeah, it was just one of those seasons that turned out really well right from the beginning. And, you know, we had a long 3-month season, so I think it was good for everybody.
Yeah, no doubt. And you brought it up on the show a week ago, and it is just a friendly reminder when, and maybe it was a couple of weeks ago now, when you store that gear, make sure it's clean, it's dry, and those metallic parts are prepared, because next fall when you get ready for the ice fishing season, you don't want to find a bunch of rusty gear.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. You know, I think ice fishermen tend to get lazy at the end of the season. And, You know, they just take the stuff and throw it up in the rafters and leave it. But, yeah, it's important that you dry out your hub houses and put some WD-40 on those turnbuckles and on those rods to keep them lubricated. And, you know, a big thing is just don't put them in the storage bag that it comes in. Leave it out so it breathes with some air and, you know, keep it out exposed. You know, your small portables, you want to make sure you don't put a cover on it. Leave those open. Leave them off the floor. Put them on a couple of 4x4s and keep the rodents out of there. And make sure you, you know, put some WD-40 on your auger blades. That's really important. You know, people forget about that. They put them away. Those bolts will rust in there, and you can't even get those blades off. And, you know, so just give them a shot of WD and then put some cardboard under there to let them drain, and you'll be fine for next year. So just a few precautions. Also, you know, electronics. You want to make sure you take your, you know, batteries disconnected from those electronics. You know, charge the battery before you put them away, but keep them, you know, separate from the unit, because those lead acid batteries have a tendency to leak during the off season. So just a couple things, a couple heads up.
Yeah, no doubt. Another thing you wanted to get into today, and I think it is a good one, you got out to the Missouri River. You had good luck out at the Missouri River. I know you want to get back out there. Talk about some of the techniques and some of the things you do on the Missouri that may be a little different.
Well, you know, it's a really different fishery. You know, the Missouri River is not like the Mississippi. It's not like the St. Croix. It's very clear, and it's actually a reservoir. It's man-made. It's not really a natural river. But a good example, when I was out there a week ago, there were some Iowa guys. I don't like picking on the Iowa people, but I thought I'd throw it out anyway. And they were having a tough time, and I said, well, let me look at your gear. Let me see what you're using. And they had, you know, heavy rods, 14, 16-pound test line, big jigs, half-ounce jigs, big cannonballs. And I go, come on, you guys, this is the Missouri River. You got to fine tune what you're using. And I said, you got to go down to the bait shop and get some 6-pound test and get some very small jigs, re-spool all your reels and put on really light jigs. And I go, how are you fishing your jigs? And they said, well, we're fishing them right under the boat, vertically, right underneath. And I go, no, no, no. You got to keep those jigs well away from the boat, like 4 or 5 boat lengths away, because you're spooking those fish. You can't sit over the top of them, because the water is very clear. So they did their, you know, diligence and got everything changed and went out and had a really good second day. So I felt really good about that. And, you know, the Missouri River is not like the Rainy, you know, which is dark water, and you can vertical jig, that's fine, and the Red River. But when you're on the Missouri River, that's clear water, spooky fish, and you've got to go to very light line, 4 or 6-pound test, really small jigs, and it makes a really big difference.
Yeah. By the way, you brought up the Rainy River. That is quite a scene up there, isn't it?
You know, it's such a scene that I don't even go up there anymore. It's so crazy. It is. It's just crazy. And, you know, there's so many people in a very small area that, you know, that river is not very wide, and you can only fish the Minnesota side. So you have half a river to work with. And if you happen to get over the center line of the Rainy River, then the Canadian authorities will come over and, you know, give you a hard time and, you know, make sure, you know, make you move, because there's sort of an imaginary line right through the middle separating Canada and Minnesota. So it makes it even more crowded. And, you know, I did it for many years, but, you know, I don't like walking to my trailer for 2 miles to come back to put it in. It's just, you know, some people think it's great, and it is, you know, really a great fishery, tremendous fishery. A lot of big fish, you know, great action, but, you know, everybody and their brother is up there, you know, from now until April. But, you know, if that's your thing, great. But I like Missouri River because there's more room. There's 40, 50 miles, a lot of area that you can get away from the crowds. There's a lot of width, a lot of depth, and it's just, you know, you're just able to get away a little bit more and have a little bit more privacy. But that's just me. I'm just, you know, kind of get away from the crowds.
And one thing we have not brought up, and before we let you go, I wanted to get your thoughts, but, for the 2025 open water season on Mille Lacs, anglers can keep 2 walleye daily, with both fish needing to be 17 inches or longer, and only one can be larger than 20 inches. So there is a slot. but positive development. What are your thoughts on Mille Lacs? I know it comes up from time to time, and I know you visit with a lot of people, and it's close to the cities, and it's near and dear in people's hearts, but it has been tough to keep fish out of Mille Lacs in recent memory.
Yeah, you know, that's a tough one, Steve. I kind of grew up fishing on that lake. I taught my kids how to fish on that lake, yeah. And it, you know, is one of my greatest, you know, memories, but there's so many politics involved with the tribal yeah. stuff and, you know, the DNR and the locals, but all the local people I talk to up there, the fishing's never been better. And, you know, the DNR doesn't see it that way, but two fish I think is okay. One, I think it was one last year, is not okay. Two is okay, and it's worth the effort. And the perch have come back, you know, fairly well, which is very positive. So I think it's going to be a good year on that lake, and I think they're going to watch the harvest. And if it gets over, you know, a particular number, it may be back to catch and release later in the year. But that lake, you know, it's been so over-regulated. It's just, you know, hard to put my, you know, wrap around what was really going on. But you talk to the local people that have cabins there, that live there, the guides, fishing has never been better. So, you know, all you can do is, you know, go by the regulations and do the best you can.
Yeah. All right, Steve, what do you got this week? Are you going to lay low or are you going to head out to the Missouri? What's the plan?
Oh, Steve, I've been packing the last couple of days to head out there, and I'm looking at the weather. And, you know, at this time of the year out in the Dakotas, as you know, you'll get one nice day, two nice days, and then three bad days. And I'm kind of see if I can, you know, thread the needle in the middle part of the week. It looks like there's a couple nice days. So hoping to get out there again. The spawn is going on right now. So they're well ahead of Minnesota fish. Those fish are up shallow spawning right now, and our walleyes aren't even close to that. So things are about a month ahead out there. So if you can handle a drive, it's a great place to be, anywhere from Pickstown up to Fort Thompson, all those areas have got fish going right now. All the accesses are open. So fishing right now out there is kind of like late May in Minnesota. It's just lights out and a really good place to be.
All right, Steve, always good to visit with you, and we'll visit following a Twins game next week.
Sounds great, Steve. Have a great weekend.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney, Steve Kearney Outdoors. He's been joining us on the weekends for years here on CCO. And by the way, our outdoors coverage continues tomorrow between 5 and 6. Rob Dreisline from the Outdoor News has a great show, chock full of guests and great info. Once again, Rob and the Outdoor News Sunday between 5 and 6 here on CCO. When we come back, Boys State Basketball Tournament Championship Saturday. Two trophies have been handed out already. Two to go, one at 5. That's a 2A title. And then the big schools, Creighton, Durham, Hall, and Wayzata tonight in the nightcap at 8. We'll have all of that for you coming up in a bit. John Millay joins us from the barn here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
John Calipari, Rick Pitino, Arkansas St. John's. And it looks like the Hogs are going to win 74-66, seconds remaining. We'll have all the NCAA tournament scores, men and women, with Jonathan Lowe following the weather at the bottom of the hour. But once again, it'll be Arkansas taking down St. John's, 10 over 2. And here's another key. Our boss, Brad Lane, big Razorbacks fan. He will be happy. And it looks like it is a final. A main free throw for the Hogs. They win it 75-66. We have big doings at the barn today. Championship Saturday of the Boys State Basketball Tournament. And John Millay joins us. He is a media specialist. His blog, John's Journal, has been around for years. John Millay, good to visit with you.
Hey Steve, how you doing? I'm actually got the NCAA tournament on my laptop here. I'm sitting courtside. The fans just started coming in for the 5 o'clock game between Waseca and Albany. It's pretty quiet, but I'm waiting for the biggest game of the day, which is my alma mater, Drake University. The Bulldogs taking on Texas Tech in the second round, and we're excited.
Yeah, and I saw you were sporting Drake gear earlier in the week at the tournament. Do you have Drake gear on today?
I certainly do. I got the proud Drake Bulldogs logo over my heart. I do.
Good man. Well, good luck today. I know you're working double duty at the state tournament. Our good friend Dave Lee calling the games on Channel 45. I was at Target Center for three of the four 4A games earlier in the week, and it is PN.TV, the official streaming service of the high school league website. It was fun to be over there for that. And now Williams Arena. And this is a great setting. Love it for the girls tournament. When you've got Maturi Pavilion and Williams Arena for the girls state tournament. For the boys, though, the barn might be a little tight tonight for these games, particularly Creighton-Durham Hall and Wayzata tonight at 8.
Yeah, it'll be a big crowd, and that's why we jumble up the lineup here. You know, we started with 1A at 11 o'clock. The 3A game was after that. That was the first session to kind of keep those 3A and 4A crowds apart. So we're going to play 2A here at 5 o'clock and the 4A's at 8 o'clock, and that'll give enough time, I think, for the Albany and Waseca fans to head home and get all those 4A fans in here. So, yeah, it's definitely a tighter fit than Target Center, but the Timberwolves, they run the show. Their schedule didn't allow for high school games over there much this week, so that's fine. Everybody loves the barn. If they don't, they should.
Yeah, and by the way, great games this week, whether it was at Target Center or what we've seen at Williams Arena this week, and two hard-fought title games today. You mentioned the early game. Dawes and Boyd beat Cherry, the number one seed. 81-74, what a thrill for Dawson Boyd. And their longtime play-by-play guy out in that neck of the woods, a good friend of yours, I am thrilled for him.
Paul Ramo from Dawson, and he's just, I've been out there with him in the booth with him at different things, football games. I helped him broadcast from a section dance tournament one time out there. Nobody has more fun and does a better job when you're talking small town radio than Paul Ramo. He's here, he's here. He was here for the Dawson Boyd game, and that guy's feet are not going to touch the ground till he gets home tonight. Just nobody loves this more than Paul, and he's, everybody knows him in Southwest Minnesota. He's an institution and just a great guy.
Yeah, and I've followed him on social media for years. KLQP in Madison, and this guy, I thought I did a lot of games on cable TV and NSPN. This guy covers everything. It's incredible. And he's a fun follow on social media as well.
He's very good. He goes to the county fairs and the FFA bake sales and, the dance tournaments. Yeah, if there's anything going on out there, Paul is broadcasting and having a great time.
Yeah, so does Boyd beats Cherry 81-74. A lot of talent in that game, and state title for Dawson Boyd. And I've been through Dawson, of course. It may sound familiar. The great Kerry Tollefson from Dawson, Minnesota.
That's right. That's right. Kerry's from there. I know Kerry. She's fantastic. And yeah. I've been down there as well. I went to a football game in Dawson one time, and if my recollection is correct, there's no fence around the football field. People just park, come in, there's a table set up on the street. And some of those sneaky football fans try to sneak in through the cemetery next door, and by golly, they had somebody watching those guys. You're not getting in through the cemetery. If you do, we're gonna make you pay right here. So it's great. One of those great small towns that everybody's excited when good things happen. And boy, they got a basketball team. Cherry was the defending state champ. But these Dawson Boyd guys, 6'8", 6'7", 6'5", I don't know how they grow them that big. But, they were dominant, and these big guys shooting threes, fun to watch. Cherry's great. Cherry's going to be back. They have not hardly any seniors. They're going to be back. And, they've been here every year now, I think, for 4 years and won it last year. But Dawson Boyd, it's a great story. And their first basketball state championship, and just super – super crowd here from Dawson, from both towns. Super atmosphere. And then for the Mankato East Alexandria game, Alexandria won its first state title in boys basketball, 73-64. This place was hopping for that. A lot of people in here. The lower bowl was basically full. We had them sitting upstairs. Just a great atmosphere in here today.
Yeah, and the big guy headed to Clemson, Chase Thompson. What a game, what a tournament. 28.7 rebounds, four assists for Chase. And, this tournament has been about, it's hard to argue with the big guys. And you got Tommy Onneman from Creighton-Durham Hall, who had an unbelievable semifinal win over Maple Grove. Boy, you can't really teach size, can you?
No, you can't. And Tommy, he's going to Notre Dame, and he's a great kid. I've spent time talking to him. An unbelievable player. People who hadn't seen him before the tournament are just beside themselves at everything he can do. He's talking to Spencer Tollickson, who's helping Dave Lee on the TV side. Yeah. And Spencer hadn't seen him. And if anybody knows big men, it's Spencer Tollickson. He was amazed at the skills that kid has. So, and then, Dawson Boyd, their 6'8 kid, Brayson Boyke, he had 29 today, and he dropped in a handful of threes. These big, tall kids that are athletes, it's really something to see.
Yeah, early in the game, Chase Thompson knocked down a three I saw later in the game that turned out to be big for Alexandria in their win over Mankato East. Still to come, Albany and Waseca, that should be a dandy 2A title game coming up at 5. And then we mentioned the nightcap, Creighton-Durham Hall and Wayzata. And we mentioned you look at the coaching and the talent in this 4A title game. It is going to be really must-see TV tonight at 8.
Yeah, those are great teams. Creighton, Jerry Klein Jr., and Brian Schnettler at Wayzata, veterans. Yeah. Still, in my eyes, still young coaches, but they're not new to this. And I've seen both those teams play during the regular season and here at State. Just well-coached athletes. It should be great. I know it's going to be a big house in here and a big a big TV audience, and it's a great way to wrap up the winter sports season later tonight.
Yeah, why is that? It's just a perennial power in boys' hoops. I mean, they've been around this championship game, it seems like, for years. Creighton-Durham Hall has a great pedigree and a great team. And I had a chance to see the Raiders a ton this year over at Joe Mauer Fieldhouse and call their games. And, boy, they have a lot of talent. You look at Ty Schlegel, just a sophomore. Yeah. They've got terrific guard play in the juniors, JoJo Mitchell and Jason Johnson. And then, of course, Monteith Dixon, another big guy down low that can rebound and help out Tommy Ottoman. And then, of course, a Wyzetta so deep, so talented, and they're there every year.
Yeah, just superstar athletes, superstar coaches, great fan bases. You know, we're in the barn. What more could you want to wrap up the basketball season? I'm super pumped here, Steve.
Yeah, Christian Wiggins, by the way, had a gigantic semifinal for Wyzetta, a big part in their hard-fought win over Shakopee. John, before we let you go, and I know we're counting down to that 2A title game coming up at 5 o'clock, this is it for the winter sports season, and then we turn the page to spring sports. But before we get into that, and we'll talk more about spring sports once that season gets started. Boys volleyball makes its high school league debut. I've got my first boys volleyball game on cable TV a week from Monday. Irondale at Andover, a new era begins. I really look forward to that. But I want to talk about some of the awards handed out during the state tournaments. And these kids are introduced at the half of these games.
Yeah.
And those are the Excel Award winners.
Yeah, you look at the resumes of these kids, what they do. Last year we had the AAA winners. One award is for juniors, one for seniors. And for the seniors, you know, there's four of them who are given college scholarships from the high school league. It's amazing. And my joke always is when halftime starts and the super smart, super talented, super all-around kids come out here to get their awards, I joke that I'm usually asked to leave the arena because I'm not anything like any of those kids. I'm a bad influence. But, yeah, it's amazing. You know, kids are amazing, and people like to complain about kids today, but I always say you have no idea. You know, come with me for a couple days, visit some schools, hang out with kids I get to hang out with, watch these AAA awards, these Excel awards. It just blows your mind what these kids are doing, and they're going to go on to do great things, you know, and it's just so fun to see all the moms and dads with their cameras down here courtside to get those pictures. I've seen parents in tears at these things, just standing here watching their child honored, you know, and with the TV cameras going. I see moms and sometimes dads, they get so emotional. They're so proud. It's really cool, Steve.
Yeah, and I'm glad they make that a part of the tournament. You and I, you know, have been talking for years about, you know, girls volleyball and football and all the athletic activities, but it's the adapted sports, it's the fine arts, the speech, the drama, the music programs. And I know for years you paid tribute to the music programs that are showcased in the form of bands at these state tournaments, the dance competitions, et cetera. There's a lot of great things going on in our schools.
Yeah, we're in really good shape here, you know, and it's not just the high school league. It's everybody in every school, you know, all these directors and teachers and people who are on the ground floor of this that giving these kids these opportunities. And that's what it's all about. We want all of our kids to have fantastic opportunities, a wide range of opportunities. And I don't know if I'm pretty braggy about Minnesota, but I don't know if anybody does it as well as we do. You'd have to convince me otherwise, but yeah, it's just so great to see. And I really enjoyed that in my tie-in with high school activities for, you know, 30 years here and the things that kids get the opportunity to do. You know, then you talk to teams after these state championship games and you see kids who just are crushed because they didn't win. You know, their tears flow in these post-game press conferences. You know, and that's all part of growing up and learning. We all face these things, and it's just part of the process, and it's just exceptional what these kids and these communities provide.
Well, John, always good to visit with you. I'll look forward to your coverage of this tournament and then spring sports. And I would assume a John's Journal – about the brand new sport, boys volleyball, this spring. I would assume there's a blog coming soon about this. I think it's going to be terrific. I think fans are going to be pleasantly surprised how good this is right out of the gate.
I think the best thing for me to do is write about the number one boys volleyball broadcaster in Minnesota and go from there. Get some photos. We'll have a photo shoot. We'll have hair and makeup. It'll be awesome.
Well, I'm going to lean on my girls volleyball coverage experience when we start a week from Monday up at Andover, Irondale at Andover. Go. It'll be the maiden voyage there. Hey, John, thanks as always.
You got it, Steve. Thank you for everything you do.
There he is, John Malaya from the Hayes School League. His blog's John's Journal, and you can find it at MSHSL.org. Quick break. We'll have an update on the weather and then a full rundown of the NCAA tournament scoreboard. We have the men. We have the women. We have the Frozen Four. Wisconsin and Ohio State at Ritter Arena tomorrow at 3 for all the marbles. And we'll have all of that here on News Talk 830-WCCO. All right. We're going to get into it. And we're going to run it down. Jonathan Lowe typically joins me on Saturdays in the fall for College Football Final. I don't know how many years it's been. It's been a lot longer than both of us would like to admit. But he has agreed to come in during the tournament and keep us up to date on all the scores. The men's, women, the women's tournament. We've already talked Frozen Four. It'll be Wisconsin and Ohio State tomorrow at Ritter Arena. Sold out 3 o'clock. For all the marbles in college women's hockey. All right, Jonathan, let's get started. 3, 2, 1, go.
Thank you so much, Steve, for all this wonderful time that you've given me on the air here to just basically bump my gums and talk about all the sports that are going on across the world of sports. Let's start on this Hoopin' and Hollin' Saturday in March, y'all, with Round 2 of the NCAA Men's Tournament. It is underway today. 2 games in the books. The Providence Sub-Regional is over. Number 4 seed out of the Midwest, Purdue. They continue the Big Ten's role. They make the conference 9-0 so far in tournament play, 76-62 final over 12-seeded McNeese. In the West region, it was number 2 St. John's, number 10 seed Arkansas, and a battle of Hall of Fame coaches with Rick Pitino and John Calipari going at it once again. And this time, Calipari comes out on top. The Hogs win 75-66 over the Johnnies. And unfortunately, Pitino, the 2 seed, top 4 seed of any of these seeds in the tournament to be bounced from the tourney. So we'll see what Arkansas does moving forward. Right now it is underway in Denver, the sub-regional there. The next Big Ten team up is Michigan. 5th seed Michigan, 4th seed Texas A&M, and the Wolverines are out to a 15-10 lead with 13 minutes to go in the first half. Games coming up later today. The Wichita Sub-Regional will start up in just about 30 minutes, 25 to 30 minutes. It'll be 3rd seed in the West, Texas Tech, taking on John Malay's 11-seeded Drake Bulldogs. That should be a very interesting battle. 2 very defensive-minded teams. South Region coming up from Lexington, Kentucky at 6-10. Top seed in the South, Auburn, will take on 9-seed Creighton. In the East Regional from Denver later on this evening, 3rd seed Wisconsin against 6-seeded BYU. That promises to be a shootout. Could be first one to 90 or 95 wins that game. Top seed in the Midwest, Houston. I said earlier the top seed in the South. That was wrong. Top seed in the Midwest is Houston. They take on 8-seeded Gonzaga from Wichita coming up later tonight. And then in the Midwest, out in Lexington, 2-seed Tennessee will battle 7-seed Big Ten powerhouse UCLA. Yeah, let that settle in. Still sounds weird all these months later. But that will be the last game of the night on the men's side. Women's side, we have had a nice upset in the last few minutes, last 20 minutes here. Number 4 seed Maryland hosting in College Park. They had a tussle so far with 13-seeded Norfolk State this second day of the first round of the women's tournament. But the Terps have pulled away in the third quarter and the fourth quarter. It's midway through the fourth quarter, 72-58, Maryland on top. It is now in midway through the third quarter in Chapel Hill. 3rd seed North Carolina taking on 14th seeded Oregon State, and the Tar Heels lead 42-28. Midway through the third quarter, as we look at 7-seed Michigan State leading 10th-seeded Harvard 29-25. So Harvard, the Ivy League tournament champs, hanging with the Big Ten team here in this one. And it's just underway for 9th-seeded Mississippi State, 8th-seeded Cal. 4 minutes to go in the first quarter, 9-1. The Bulldogs lead the Golden Bears. Coming up in just a little bit, in about 30 minutes or so, it'll be 8-seed Illinois taking on 9-seed Creighton. It'll be 6-seed Florida State against 11-seed George Mason. Number 1-seed Texas, they'll be at home in Austin taking on 16-seeded William & Mary. 3rd-seed LSU late tonight, they'll be in Baton Rouge hosting 14-seeded San Diego State. Finals from earlier today. Top-seed USC at home in the Galen Center in L.A. They just demolish UNC Greensboro 71-25. That's right, they allowed 25 points for an entire game. That is incredible. 2nd-seed UConn, they continue their winning ways early in the tournament. They beat Arkansas State 103-34.
Ouch.
What a blowout that was in stores today. By the way, the next opponent up for UConn, I'll get to that in a moment. 2nd-seeded NC State had a tussle early with Vermont, but they pulled away in the second half to win 75-55. It was 3rd-seeded Oklahoma defeating 14-seeded Florida Gulf Coast 81-58. Alabama gets an 81-67 win over Green Bay. Iowa opens the tournament with a win 92-57 over Murray State. West Virginia knocks out one of the Ivy teams in Columbia 78-59. And just completed a few moments ago, your Jackrabbits from South Dakota State take down 7-seeded Oklahoma State 74-68 in stores. And again, your reward, Jackrabbits, you get UConn. You get Paige Beckers and AZ Fudd and Sarah Strong and Gino Auriemma. Congratulations. I will wish you luck, because that is going to be a tough task to take down that team. Let's go ahead and take a look at some of the other scores across college sports. Let's go to hockey. Women's hockey Division III National Tournament in Minneapolis. Augsburg is leading St. Norbert 4-1 about midway through the third period. In River Falls, UW River Falls is up on Elmira 3-1. That's with 4:10 to go in the game. If Augsburg and UW River Falls hold on to win, they will face each other next Friday in the national semifinals. The other two quarterfinals today, Middlebury defeats Nazareth 1-0. Amherst over Colby 4-1. Middlebury and Amherst next Saturday in the national semis. Let's head to the men's side of hockey real quick. Some conference tournaments to talk about. Last night, the CCHA, congratulations to Minnesota State. They defeat St. Thomas 4-2 for the Mason Cup. So Mavericks get the automatic bid to the men's NCAA tournament. Big Ten final tonight in East Lansing. Ohio State and Michigan State, that'll face off around 6:30 for the Big Ten title. And then in St. Paul, it'll be the NCHC championship. Western Michigan taking on Denver. The winner there wins that automatic bid. That is a 7:30 face-off at the X. And then tomorrow, if you're looking for the men's tournament bracket, the NCAA men's tournament bracket to be unveiled, it will be unveiled tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. Central Time. So if you're looking for where those teams will go for the to pair it down to the Frozen Four coming up in a few weeks, that's where you'll go. You'll go 2 p.m. tomorrow. ESPNU will have the televised coverage of the revealing of the brackets as we go through that selection process. Minnesota should be in. Michigan State, some of these Big Ten teams should be in. Minnesota State is in the field. So we'll see who gets selected and where they go as we go throughout that show, basically. And then let me see if I can get one other thing.
And at Frozen Four, women's Frozen Four at Ritter tomorrow at 3.
That's correct.
It'll be Wisconsin and Ohio State. The Badgers blow out Minnesota at Ritter on Friday night, 6-2, the final. The Badgers have dropped one game all year, 35-1-2 this year.
And one other thing I wanted to mention real quick, Steve, this is also the weekend for the National Wrestling NCAA Championships. You want to take a guess at who's winning?
Gable?
No. Penn State.
Oh, Kale Penn Sanderson. State, the team. I would assume Gable's a man to beat in the heavyweight, but
Oh, Gable Stevenson, yes. I believe he is still in it. But, no, your team scores right now. Penn State on top. Looks like they will win another national title. They are leading Nebraska by 60 points as they go into the championship matches tonight. Nebraska's in second place. Oklahoma State in third. Iowa in fourth. Minnesota in fifth. Cornell is in sixth.
All right. Great work, Jonathan. Jonathan Lowlands Brown is our producer. Quick break. We'll come back. I want to hear about Lindsay's trip to the North Shore. We'll do that here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. All the news, all the weather at 5. Then Bobby Nightingale will join us. And Bobby covers the Twins for the Star Tribune. And spring training, the Grapefruit League winding down. Twins fell to the Blue Jays 2-1 earlier today. They get the Red Sox tomorrow at noon. Then 2 to go, Twins head north. They will be in St. Louis to open with the Redbirds on Thursday. All 162 here on the home of the Twins. News Talk 830-WCCO. So Bobby Nightingale coming up following the news. We'll get an update on Lindsay's journey to the North Shore next hour. We'll have another NCAA tournament scoreboard. And then Jess Myers will get us up to date on the Wild. Timberwolves are idle today. Wild blow out the Sabres 4-1 in St. Paul today and take another step to the postseason. So there is good news in St. Paul today. And we'll, you know, get a lay of the land once again with Bobby following the news and weather on what this Twins 26-man roster is going to look like. The rotation, the bullpen, and what the starting lineup looks like on Thursday against the Cardinals. We'll have the news. We'll have the weather at 5 here on CCO in a moment.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to streeteasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.